Chapter 2. The Jewish people and their past prophecies. In the previous chapter, we answered the big question that many people seem to be asking: what's up with the Jewish people? What's the big deal about them? Why are they always in the discussion when it comes to end times events? Well, again, as we saw, first of all, Jesus was Jewish, if that helps answer the question, and it does, because it shows us that in the past, God was fulfilling his promises made to Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden with the Genesis 3:15 promise, through the Jewish people, to undo the damage the devil had done. That one day, the Messiah, Jesus, who did come through the Jewish people, would crush the head of the serpent, Satan, which he did on the cross, and then he rose again from the grave. We also saw the future promises God made with the Jewish people in the unconditional covenants he made with them, which means he's not done with them yet. The Bible says God still has future promises to fulfill with the Jewish people, like them possessing all the land he gave them, as well as Jesus Christ literally ruling and reigning in Jerusalem and all over the planet in the millennial kingdom. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet, so that means God is not done with the Jewish people. And as we saw, that also means that the church has not replaced Israel, like the lie of replacement theology would have you and I to believe, which includes putting us in the seven-year tribulation. This is a time all about Israel and not about the church. This is good news for us, because if God can't keep his unconditional covenants he made with the Jewish people, then how do we know he'll keep his unconditional promise with us in the new covenant? Praise God, he's a covenant-keeping God. But this is why the Jewish people are one of the most important prophetic events on God's end time calendar. This is why they are mentioned all over the Bible, past, present, and future. And this is also why we find so many prophecies about them. In fact, speaking of prophecies, before we get to the future ones, that's in the next chapter, Lord willing, showing us, we're living in the last days, let's take a look at a few of the past prophecies concerning the Jewish people and see if God gets them right, and what we can learn from them today. But first let's read what God has to say.
Deuteronomy 28 62-64. You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known.
Number 1. Dispersion. The Jews were warned repeatedly that they would be dispersed worldwide if they were not faithful to the conditional Mosaic covenant with God. Moses said, "The Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other." Deuteronomy 28:64, Leviticus 26:33. Jeremy Gimple. We know that if the Jewish people don't live a godly life in the land of Israel, they were promised to be scattered to the four corners of the earth. Ken Spiro, historian, said, which is guaranteed to be an extinction of many people. Scattered around the world, they are going to be gone. Jeremy Gimple. The last thing you would want to do to an eternal people is scatter them across the world with no common culture, no common language, no internet, no form of communication. How will the Jewish people stay Jewish? How will they stay eternal if they are scattered around the world? Yet that is exactly what happened. Rabbi Beryl Wein. We remained the people, not only just the faith and religion, but a family.
Deuteronomy 4:27, God will scatter you among the people and you will be left few in numbers.
Jeremy Gimple. The most recent census number of the Chinese people is 1.3 billion, plus or minus 12 million. 12 million, that is the entire number of all of the Jewish people worldwide. We're a statistical error when just counting the people in China, that's how small we are. Yep, just what God says, you will have a huge population, but one day the prophecies say you will be dispersed around the world and specifically left few in number, and that certainly has come to pass. Now that's just the first one. There are several past prophecies concerning the Jewish people, obviously God gets them all right. Number 2. Persecution. The Lord also warned the Jews that they would be persecuted wherever they went. Again, the words of Moses tell us.
Deuteronomy 28:65. And among those nations you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul.
Rabbi Beryl Wein, the fact that we are scattered and small, and we have been subject to the greatest hatred in human history. Jeremy Gimple, the Torah tells us the atrocities and the curses that would come upon the Jewish people throughout the exile. Leviticus 26:3, "And you, I'll scatter among the nations, I will unsheathe the sword after you." Jeremy Gimple, "And no one has suffered as we have suffered, no one has been as persecuted." Rabbi Beryl Wein, "Antisemitism, the oldest universal irrational intent of hatred in the world, the Crusades, the Inquisition, Muslim oppression, nation after nation, religion after religion, Arab TV, we will treat the Jews as our enemies even if they return Palestine to us. As Muslims, our blood vengeance against them will only subside with their annihilation, Allah willing." Arya Abramowitz, "And the persecution we face has always transcended all logic and rational thoughts. When we were poor and destitute in the ghetto, we were hated for being parasites, when wealthy we were hated for being money grubbing. One thing that we could always rely on was that there would always be a reason, a pretext, to hate us. If you have ever done any studies of the Holocaust, that was the worst persecution of any people on the planet." Number 3. Desolation. God promised that after their dispersion, their land would become desolate and their cities would become waste, but Moses put it even more graphically when he said,
Deuteronomy 29:22-23. "The foreigner who comes from a distant land will say, 'All its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass grows in it.'"
Rabbi Yom Tov Glazer, "The Torah tells us that if the Jews don't do their charge, they will be sent out of the land, and while they are away the land will become desolate. The land in the late 1800s was barren, full of rocks, it couldn't produce anything there." John Voight, "Mark Twain came here in 1850. He talks about all these places he tried to pay respects to. He was saddened by the fact that it was desolation. Nothing grew here."
Leviticus 26:32. "I will lay waste the land, so that your enemies who live there will be appalled."
And that is exactly what happened. We will get into that in future chapters. But we saw that come to pass as well. How is God's track record so far? God never gets it wrong. Past, present and future, He is very consistent. Number 4. Preservation. But God in His marvelous grace promised He would preserve the Jews as a separate people during their worldwide wanderings. Isaiah 66:22, Jeremiah 30:11, 31:35-37. Isaiah adds that the Lord could no more forget Israel than a mother could forget her nursing child, Isaiah 49:15. He then adds that God cannot forget Israel because He has them tattooed on the palms of His hands. Isaiah 49:16. Jeremy Gimple, "The first promise to Israel was made to Abraham. An eternal covenant."
Genesis 17:7. "And I will establish a covenant between me and you and between your offspring after you, throughout their generation as an everlasting covenant."
Jeremy Gimple, "The Jewish people are the only ancient people alive today. The Assyrians, Babylonians, Jebusites, the Canaanites, all of them are gone." Rabbi Beryl Wein, "The one nation that has survived such scattering and then remained the nation, they became a symbol and eventually any trace of the original was gone." Jeremy Gimple, "We the eternal people stand alive today. Why? Because God's not done with them. We read this in the last chapter. I don't mean to belabor this point, but if you don't understand this, you mess up all the interpretation of the scripture past, present and future. The Jewish people need to be saved just like everybody else through Jesus Christ. But God is not done with them because of the unconditional promises that He made through Abraham and David. That's why they are still around today. The importance of that is the fulfillment of these prophecies." Number 5. Fulfillment. God has fulfilled all four of these prophecies during the past 2,000 years. In 70 AD the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem and took the Jewish nation into captivity, desolating the land and scattering the Jewish people across the face of the earth. As prophesied, everywhere they went they were persecuted, with their persecution culminating in the Nazi Holocaust of World War II. But God also preserved the Jews, and the fulfillment of this prophecy has been one of the most remarkable miracles of history. No other people have ever been so dispersed and yet been able to retain their identity as a nation. Jeremy Gimple. Why are the Jewish people in Israel today? Is it random, is it coincidence, or is it destiny? What is happening in Israel today is the culmination of Jewish history. For almost 2,000 years the Jewish people have been living on faith, faith in prophecies given thousands of years ago. Promises that seem irrational, promises that seem almost impossible. Promises that depend on the one before and if one isn't true then none of them are true. We were given these visions and promises thousands of years ago for our time, for our generation. Every single promise has come to pass. That tells us that God is a covenant-keeping God. When God makes a promise, what does He do? He keeps it. This is why the Jewish people are still around today. This is why we are seeing them in the news every day. This is why everybody wants to make peace in the Middle East, which involves the Jewish people, little bitty tiny Israel. God's not done with them due to the unconditional covenants He made with them, as we saw last time. But here's my point. If God got the past prophecies right about the Jewish people right down to a T, then what do you think is going to happen to the future ones He made? He's going to get those right too. He's God. He never gets anything wrong. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember, this is good news for us, because if God keeps His unconditional promises to the Jewish people, then that means we can also trust Him with our unconditional new covenant in Jesus. But this is also a major mega sign we're living in the last days. This is why the Jewish people are all over the news today. It shows us that God is getting ready to deal with them again. They are the object of focus in the 7-year tribulation. Which means, the rapture could happen at any moment, because we, the bride, are out of here before any of that begins. Now that's the good news. The bad news is, there's a problem. We the bride, even though we're not going into the 7-year tribulation, we're wasting away our opportunity, we're squandering away our chance to do something splendid for Jesus, with what time we have left. We're losing our rewards because we're distracted. And that's the last thing you want to do. Because if there's one message loud and clear for us today in these past prophecies of the Jewish people, it's that when God says to do something, you better what? You better do it. And when He warns about not doing something, you better what? You better take heed to that warning, right? He's serious about it. And it's the same thing with the church. Now, we're not Israel, and we don't replace Israel, and no, we don't go into the 7-year tribulation, but there's still a lesson for us to learn here as well in these past prophecies with the Jewish people. It's wrapped around God's consistent character. God told us to do something as well, and He also warned us of what not to do prior to the rapture, right? Let me share that with you.
Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. James 5:1-3, 5:7-9. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door.
So, Jesus tells us to do something today just like the Jewish people in the past, and He also warns us of not doing something today, just like the Jewish people of the past, very consistent. God tells us, the church, in this time frame, the church age, to get busy sharing the gospel and stop living a life of self-indulgent luxury while we await the rapture, the blessed hope, right? So surely that's what we're doing. I mean, we just saw God's with us wherever we go, even to the end of the age, the church age, which means He's watching us, He's seeing everything we're doing, He is the judge at the door. We also see He has a consistent character, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday with the Jewish people, or today with the church, God is consistent forever. We may not have the same plan, but we serve the same God. And so, if He tells us or the Jewish people to do something, He expects it to be done, right? He's not blowing hot air. And if He warns us or the Jewish people of bad behavior, then we better take heed and listen up, right? So, we're doing what He said to do, we're taking heed to His warning, right? Wrong. We the church are being just as obedient as the Jewish people, and we've even turned the rescue mission into a pleasure cruise, like these people. And we don't think we're going to be judged.
SPV Rosa Mary 44 North 127 West Pacific Ocean. A sailor is pulling on a rope on board the ship when there is an explosion. He yells, "No!" as bodies and barrels are flying through the sky. The radio operator is calling, "Mayday, Mayday, Mayday, trying to call for help. This is the Rosa Mary and an explosion has taken out our starboard aft and we have a fire on board.
We only have minutes here, over.
The reply is, Roger, Rosa Mary, this is the Coast Guard. All our vessels in this area are 44 North 127 West are to report and prepare immediate assistance, over. PV Corpus Christi reports, we are in the area 43 North 128 West Pacific Ocean, we will be there in 7 minutes, over. The captain on board another ship asks the pilot what is going on. He is told the Corpus Christi has just reported that they have a crew of 7 with 24 lifeboats ready. The captain replies that he wants the coordinates of the Rosa Mary immediately and a status report of the Corpus Christi.
You have 5 minutes. Yes, sir. He replies.
During the time that all this is transpiring, another officer on the ship is coming down the hallway to a dinner party that is going on. He is stopped by a man standing in the shadows.
Mr. McMillan, this is quite a night for your first tour of duty. Who are you?
Mr. McMillan asks. The man answers, Choices, Jack, you are about to enter the Valley of Decision.
McMillan answers, I'm sorry.
The man interrupts him, Let me ask you a question, what takes precedence, the vessel's facilities or its overall purpose? He answers, I believe the purpose of this vessel is quite clear, sir.
Precisely, a purpose should be quite clear.
Jack, we are heading into dangerous territory, no way around that.
However, inside this vessel is a comfortable place to be.
And therein lies your choice. Would you go or are you also content to merely study about going?
McMillan answers, Sir, I do have to go. I have to serve the party. It's about to start.
Jack, the party is almost over.
On the bridge the captain is talking to a crew member.
He tells him to run to the party that is going on, to warn the people there. The captain has ordered everyone to immediately report to Officer Burlow on the second level deck for emergency rescue operations. Officer Burlow has the lifeboats ready and we are ready to deploy.
Everyone, follow me.
Another officer in a white suit says, Emergency operation, this man is dripping on my floor.
My good man, Officer Brock, let me assure you of one thing, there will be no rescue operation. Officer Brock replies, But sir.
The officer then says, Think, do you know who takes this ship out in this kind of weather? Those who wish to remain unnoticed. So if some group of drug runners run afoul, I would even laugh to risk life and limb to save them.
But sir.
This boat after all, Officer Brock tries to tell him. The officer in the white suite interrupts again, I know perfectly well the purpose of this vessel, do you wish to have us all killed? No, sir, again the officer in the white suit interrupts, the purpose of a boat like this is to protect us from the outside, is this not clear to you, Officer Brock?
Well, maybe, he answers. While this conversation is going on, McMillan is listening and thinking about what he should do.
Officer Brock turns to walk out of the room and says as he is leaving, Well, maybe not, sir.
McMillan turns to exit the room after Officer Brock. The officer in the white suit calls to him, Seaman McMillan, is that you I see joining the wise men? He turns and walks out the door.
The officer in the white suit turns to the rest of the people in the room and says everybody, 1:45 sharp, church.
Officer Brock is now on the deck.
He calls out, Nobody is here yet. They are ready to release the lifeboats to go rescue the people on the Rosa Mary but only 4 people come down the stairs to help. He is asked where they are, where are the rest of them to come help?
He replies, I don't know. Officer Burlow says, No, 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 this is only a handful of people.
You don't understand, I just raised all these 24 lifeboats, everything we've got and you have brought 6 people?
You are aware that it takes 6 people to launch one of these boats.
You're telling me we are about to launch 3 lifeboats to rescue 76 people?
Have you lost your mind?
He replies, No, sir. Those people will have only managed to survive with our help, and you have only brought me a 6 people. What is going on up there?
Back at the party, a couple of men are sitting on the couch discussing the design of the new rack and how they are pulled up from the stern.
You want to be 12 feet of the sea and you are pulling someone up from the stern, you can't even reach them. Trust me, I went over this thing for 3 weeks with Burlow, I memorized the manual. You better catch up on some of your homework. Man, have you ever been on a lifeboat?
Aren't you glad you aren't out in that weather tonight? I've got to go to church.
As the Rosa Mary is going down, a mother is watching her daughter in the water trying to stay afloat.
She is calling for her mother. Her mother is unable to get to her.
The little cries, "Mommy, Mommy." The radio officer is telling someone that the Rosa Mary was on its way to Vancouver.
They filed a manifest crew of 12 and 64 passengers. Can you please report the status of the operation?
3 lifeboats have been dropped and are operational. Over. Sir, this is U.S. Coast Guard James Meyer. You and your crew are under orders to deploy all available lifeboats and crew immediately.
Do you comprehend the situation you are in? You are their only chance. The response is silence.
They have the boat to beat all boats, 64 crew, 24 rescue boats, and they launch 3.
Back in the water, the little girl keeps calling, "Mommy, where are you?"
As she slowly vanishes under the water, the mother is pulled back from the edge of the lifeboat as she sees her daughter go under for the last time.
Meanwhile, the party continues in the upper deck.
Welcome to the American Church. 95% of the people who claim to be Christians today have never once gone on a rescue mission. Never once led one soul to Jesus Christ. But do you know what? They are excited about the economy, so they can continue to enjoy their self-indulgence. Get busy sharing the gospel and stop living a life of self-indulgent luxury while we await the rapture. What have we done, church? We turned the rescue mission into a pleasure cruise, and we don't think the judge is at the door, just like with the Jewish people. Oh, we won't be judged for salvation, praise God, that's been taken care of by the cross of Christ. But we will be judged at the Bema judgment seat for rewards, and that will determine whether or not you have anything to show for your so-called appreciation for the cross of Christ.
1 Corinthians 3:12-16. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss, he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? In other words, he's watching the whole thing. This is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist. It's not for your entertainment, it's to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. This is why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
He's trying to get it through our heads that whether we like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. And so, the point is this. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Get saved now. If you're reading this today and you are a Christian, then stop turning the rescue mission into a pleasure cruise. This is no time to be living a life of luxury and self-indulgence. The judge is at the door. Get busy being a faithful bride and patiently share the gospel with as many as you can, because the Lord's coming is near. That's the point, amen.